Hey there, it's Tony Curl here, and welcome to the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today I'm talking about bell curves and distribution graphs. So what's the relationship with dumb leaders? Hang around, you'll find out. Hey there, it's Tony here, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. You know, I knew a leader once who loved bell curves. He absolutely loved them. Everything was graphed out on the bell curve: his team, the performance of his team, and where everyone sat. The most important of everything was the performance standards and ranking that were assigned to the team. Now, for those that may be unfamiliar with bell curves, they typically are in the shape of a bell, hence the reason why they call it bell curves, and are often used to display things like the life cycle of a business. You know, we've got startup, we've got growth, we've got maturity, and then ultimately a decline. So during the growth stages, an upward slant on the bell curve, the maturity aspect starts to level out at the top, and then we go into decline, which is the downward slope. It's also used often for things like the product adoption cycle, where we've got where we graph the types of people that adopt to a product. You know, innovators, early adapters, early majority, late majority, and then we've got the people that are just late in coming to the party, and we call them the laggards. But they're the types of things that we see plotted and graphed onto bell curved. But it often gets used to plot the performance and rankings of teams. So let me explain. You might have three or four levels of performance when people are doing their performance reviews. You know, fails to meets expectations, exceeds expectations, might be a three ranking process. But often you'll see things like below average, average, above average, and then outstanding, which is like a four ranking process. And they get plotted on a bell curve. It gets, because the majority of the people should, by rights or all intents and purposes, would probably sit around that average to below average aspect. So companies find them a useful tool come performance appraisal time. Reality tells us that not everyone is outstanding. We know that. Experience tells me that. Reality tells me that. So in a team of eight, a natural bell curve could look something like you might have one outstanding leader. You might have two above average. You might have four at average. And you might have one or maximum two below average, so that you can plot them quite easily onto a bell curve. Now, the reason why the manager I worked with loved bell curves is that the company preordained the rankings, how many people should fit into each area of the bell curve. Now, preordaining isn't a bad thing by itself. You see, the bell curve usually follows a natural process. And when you work in an environment of succession planning and growth, and where feedback is given and accepted, the natural bell curve creates an environment where everyone is working to get to the next level. They know where they stand, and they know what they need to do to get to the next level. But many leaders will fall into the trap of not providing feedback, especially the feedback that people need. You know, I talked last week about the leader that likes to be liked, and in many cases, leaders that like to be liked don't provide the feedback that people need to do, be better at what it is that they do. People, in turn, don't know where they stand, or worse, have a false belief of what their actual performance level is. So by forcing the team to be spread on the bell curve in a preordained manner by itself is not necessarily a bad thing, because it forces the leader to rank the team. And no matter where you are, no matter what it is that you do, there will always be a ranking process. You know, whether it's you're on the world professional tennis circuit or whether you're working as a leadership team in a manufacturing environment, there's always rankings, whether they're documented rankings like a performance appraisal rating scale or whether it's just the rankings that a leader may potentially have within within themselves. But by preordaining where people sit, it actually forces the leader to rank their teams in level of performance. And without the preordainment of rankings, that may not happen. So preordaining where people should sit, or the numbers of where people should sit on a bell curve, is not necessarily a bad thing, because it's forcing the leader to provide some sort of ranking process to his team. And I just had a slip of the tongue there by saying his team, but because I'm thinking about the leader that I potentially had. But ultimately, it's their team. Now, when it comes to performance, people should understand their current reality and have a plan to achieve the next level at every stage of their career. Some people will be happy being solid performers. Some will reach for the stars, while others will be chronic underperformers. And that's the reality of life. That's what experience has shown me and experience has taught me. But the dumb leader I knew still didn't take the hard line. He found the bell curve easy enough when ranking the above average, but use the bell curve as the reason for the ranking below for those that were ranked in the average or below average areas. In other words, he used words like, well, the company tells me how many people I need to rank in each section, so that's the only reason I've had to give you a below average. That's the only reason I've had to give you a below average, because the company tells me I've got to have at least two people sitting in the below average. Now, how to diminish a message 101. That's dumb. That is really dumb. The outcome may have been right, so I'm going to be really honest here. The outcome may have been right, but the message was wrong. And because the message was wrong, those being assessed focused on the processes and not the plan. They blamed the bell curve for the result. And they had no feedback to work on anyway, but if they did, they would have ignored it because of the focus that they blame the bell curve, they blame the company, instead of looking within and having some clear, solid foundations from which to build their performance. So we have a process that should work but was diminished because of a dumb leader, and really that's dumb. Any process that gets diminished because of a leader's inability to live that process, well, that's dumb. Did it lift performance? No. Did it give people a realistic understanding of where they stood? No. Did they have a plan for growth in the future? No. It was the bell curve's fault. Bell curve. So the dumb leader and the bell curve, when given a tool to use, you've got to take the time to learn how to use that to best effect and use it to best serve your team, and not be a dumb coward. Not be one of those managers that need to be liked, that only pass on good news, that only want to share in the good news. Don't be a coward. Don't be a dumb coward. And provide honest, open, transparent feedback back to your team. Because they're going to respect that and treasure that more as they build and grow their own career profiles, and as they build their success in their chosen careers. They're going to honour those that help them get there. And you help people get there by providing open, honest, transparent feedback without an agenda. So in this case, the bell curve wasn't the issue. Preordaining the rankings by the company wasn't the issue. The issue was the message that was delivered by the dumb leader. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is distribution graphs. Now, you may have seen these. You know, we plot the performance of people and or businesses and or departments and or companies on a graph. Often they'll, well, mostly they'll have a horizontal and they'll have a vertical axis. Now, in the time that I've been a leadership and a people coach, I guess, I've coached over 100 businesses to varying degrees of success as they've channeled through the challenges that face all businesses. But in that time, I've seen many distribution graphs for many industries. I have access to a range of industry reports, and I use them to try and help the companies and the businesses that I work get an understanding of things like where the benchmark is for the industry and where their performance actually sits within that particular industry. And I've seen hundreds of distribution graphs, and many of them, you know, I would probably say all, but there's going to be an exception somewhere, but many of them have a common feature. See, when we plot the performance of businesses on a distribution graph, the results look incredibly familiar. On any distribution graph, there's usually a line that defines the average performance within the grouping, and then we'll often see one that will, another trend line that will sit above that average line, and we call that the benchmark because that's where we want companies within that industry to be aiming for. So we've got a horizontal axis, a vertical axis, and horizontal trend lines for average and benchmark. And commonly what we'll see is this. Above the benchmark, companies in any industry that I've seen, there will sit approximately 5% of the companies. Often we'll see two absolutely outstanding companies, and they'll sit even further removed or further up the scale. But we'll usually see about 5% of the businesses in that industry sitting above the benchmark. And then maybe we've got about 10 to 20 that will sit around the average line. We'll see some, you know, maybe another 5% that sit between average and benchmark. But the high majority of companies that, and once again, I'm using experience. I am being general, but I am using experience. The vast majority sit below the average. And this is the reality of what happens when we plot performance. Often we see a huge amount of businesses that sit well below the average. You know, so we've got two potentially within an industry grouping that are the high flyers that are incredibly successful. They've got high levels of revenue and profit. And then we've got, it's like a cluster of businesses that sit around the lower performance ratios. And they're really struggling. And why? Why? In any industry, we often see everyone else as competitors. So we focus internally. We use what we have. It's business as usual. We don't see anything out of the ordinary. We believe that this is our accepted way of doing business. It's an accepted cost. It's tough. It's a struggle. We think it's normal. We accept it as normal. What we don't see is those fresh ideas coming to drive performance better in those lower performing businesses. Because they're not looking external for the answers, they're looking internal. And the answers, the thought process that has you sitting around the bottom of a industry cluster grouping is not the line of thinking that you need to challenge yourself to get away from that. Now, experience tells us, so the lesson there for businesses is that, you know, A, become aware of what your competitors are doing. Become aware of the benchmark within the industry. Become aware of at least the average. And if you're batting below average, you need to start asking the questions that will get you to a stage where you're at least making the average of what everyone else is making or the average of the industry. So you need to become aware of that. And once you have awareness, it's quite often that's just the first stage of then driving and understanding how to do things better and how to drive better performance within your business. But experience tells us the same applies in most sectors of life. We have the exceptional few and we have a distribution of people that cluster around below average. You know, we've even termed it, you know, stay under the radar. You know, it's that's the way many people will live their life. And that's the very reason why we've created the Dumb Leaders Handbook. You know, leaders that are clustered around that lower performing ratio will often not find the answers they need to break away from that within the grouping and the people that they're with. You know, you need to start leveraging up. You need to start networking up. You need to surround yourself with better people. You need to ask the questions. You need to follow the success leaves clues trail. There's many opportunities there. But that's why we've created the Dumb Leaders Handbook. Leaders that have strong self-awareness understand how to be the best, understand how to learn from their mistakes and the mistakes from others. And really, the Dumb Leaders Handbook is a library of leadership mistakes to learn from. A library of leadership mistakes to learn from. So it stops you or should help you reduce potentially the number of leadership mistakes that you're making. I can almost guarantee that those clustered in the lower performing ratio of any distribution graph of any leadership person performance profiles are making the same mistakes time and time again. Whether it's an emotional intelligence, whether it's an awareness process, you know, whether it's just the way they're seen by some people, they're making the same mistakes time and time again. Remember, the Dumb Leaders Handbook is your library of leadership mistakes to learn from. Thanks for being a part of it. We hope that you're getting great value out of the Dumb Leaders Handbook. As I said, our Dumb Leaders Handbook is over there at dumbleaders.com. We welcome your contributions. If you want to own up and confess to some dumb mistakes, please do so. It's part of the self-awareness process. But if you want to talk about a dumb leader that you're working with and get our resident experts the opportunity to provide you some hints and tips on how best to work with that, please do so as well. Just check it out over at dumbleaders.com and go to our contact page and flick us your story. We would love to hear it. Dumb Leaders Handbook, it's a library of leadership mistakes that we want you to learn from. Thanks for again being a part of the Dumb Leaders podcast. Until next week, we'll see you then. Bye for now.